called Parenting, and it's by Paul David Tripp. And it's so foundational in the things that he deals with, and that's why we're doing it. But the other thing, I'll probably remind us of this several times as we start out in this, as we go through this. But again, if you don't have kids, the things, you know, even as I was preparing for this today, just seeing the things that the Lord has revealed about himself and who he is in our own lives. So you can, as we talk through this, there's many times where you can substitute. If I say children, you can substitute it with coworker, husband, wife, you know, yourself. So you'll be able to see that these things apply no matter what. It's just that what you're going to find, and you know, we're specifically dealing with parenting, because what happens a lot in our lives is we kind of segregate our lives. We kind of compartmentalize our lives, and we become parents and we become Christians, and or we become parents and we become disciplers, or we become parents and we become ministers, but it seems to separate itself out, and we don't want that to happen. So but still, this applies to everyone everywhere. So just a quick overview of where we started last week. In his introduction, one of the things he first deals with is he talks about two different aspects of parenting, or two different ways we can approach a parenting as an owner and as an ambassador. And we talked about the way that those things show themselves as an owner and as an ambassador. He began to delve into that a little bit. And we looked at some verses. The other warning we talked about last week, and I'll probably say this a lot too, because we've got a lot of new parents that are just starting out, is that, and I'll just read it here. So the way you've been raised, the way that you've been brought up, there may be a lot of great things in that. I mean, you may have had the best Christian parents in the world. You may have had terrible parents. You may have had unsaved parents, but they were really good parents. And you may have learned a lot of things, and good and bad. And you're going to find that just naturally, those things begin to come out of you when you begin to raise your own children. And that should not be what dictates our roles as parents.
Amen.
It shouldn't be. We can learn from it, both the good and the bad, but just because it worked then does not mean it will now. And maybe more importantly, that shouldn't even be our motivation. Our motivation shouldn't be, well, that works and that doesn't. This is, being a parent is as much a work of, it's not as much of, it is absolutely a work of the Holy Spirit, just like our daily walk with Christ. And mm-hmm. If you're not doing it by the power of the Holy Spirit, I promise you, no matter what you think is going wrong and going right, mm-hmm. is going wrong. Because it has to be by the power of the Holy Spirit. It has to be by his work. Because what worked for you when you were growing up, and I look back, you know, me, and I look back and I say, well, that worked really great. I'm, you know, and maybe I don't even think about it. It just subconsciously starts to come out. I start to do it with my own kids. It doesn't matter. And I may think, well, this is working great, but maybe it's not what the Lord has for Hannah or Emma or for me. And it may be different for, I can assure you of this, it's different for Emma than it is for Hannah. It's, and so you can't get caught in that trap. And so we looked at some verses, and we're going to see some of them today, so I won't go back through them. We're going to use them again today. But he gets to, and you guys don't have to buy this book to go through it. I'm going to say the page number just so that as people are, if they're listening to this and they have the book, they can go back and look at it. But on page 16, right before he steps into this next section, he says, it is so important to humbly recognize how counterintuitive ambassadorial parenting is, and to seek the rescue and the power to remember that only God and his amazing grace can provide. Sin makes us all more natural owners than ambassadors. So the sin in our own hearts is going to drive us towards being an owner parent. And again, to clarify, some of the verses we looked at, we showed that, you know, God talks about our children being a gift. And an inheritance is the word that I like one of the versions uses. Gift doesn't mean he hands them to us, plops them in our lap, and says, here's a Bible, now take off and do your best, and if you need some help, come back and ask me, and I'll give you some help. That's not the way it works. We should treat, when he says an inheritance, and that's why I love that word, we should treat it as something that is passed on to us to keep, that it might be passed on down the line, that it keeps going. But somebody else long before us owned it, and we saw that in the scriptures, and we're going to see those scriptures again today, where God makes it clear, these are my children. These are my creation. The biology is just a tiny piece of it. These children came into being because God breathed his life into them and gave them a spirit and said, You know, this is Hannah, this is Emma, this is Mia. And so when we talk about that owner, be careful of that. So sin makes us all more natural owners than ambassadors. Sin makes us all more demanding than patient. Sin causes all of us to find punishment more natural than grace. Now, and as you read through this book, and you got to be careful, in no way is he advocating that discipline goes out the door and that the hard parts of discipline go out the door. But he's you have to remember that he's trying to take us from a place where, and particularly for somebody like myself, where we just rely on all these natural means and we just cling to a couple of verses and imply them as we will. That's what he's dealing with. So sin makes all of us more able to see and be distressed by the sin, weakness, and failure of others than we are about our own. Sin makes it easier for us to talk at other people rather than listening to them. Here's what all this means. The thing that constantly gets in the way of our ambassadorial calling as parents is us. Humbly confessing this is the first step in your ambassadorship. And so on page 17, this is where he's going to jump into four things that we're going to look at this morning. He says, we are constantly torn between what we want and what God wants. We are constantly pulled one way by what we think is best and the other way by what God says is best. We at one moment are way too influenced by the values of the surrounding culture, and at another moment are very serious in our conviction that a biblical way of thinking must shape our parenting. Now, here's one of these instances. What we're just reading right there, you can apply that to your own life. We do that every day within our own lives. I know how to do this. I know how to work this out. I know what I need to do today, Lord. And we're not relying on the Lord. We're not relying on the Holy Spirit to guide us and lead us, to guide our steps. Yeah, and hey, speak up so we can hear you too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thing like, oh, well, God's giving you some wisdom of being a parent. So now
yeah.
I feel like, no. To walk it out, you still must remain in the Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Absolutely.
That's good.
That's good, Chris. So true.
Sometimes we just want our children to behave so our lives could be easier, while at other moments we accept the fact that parenting is spiritual warfare. So he's talking about, and you're gonna experience this. I don't care how well prepared you go into this, you're going to experience this. So listen to it and let it soak in. It is helpful to think through, at a practical level, the difference between ownership and ambassadorial parenting. I therefore distinguish between these two models of parenting in four areas that every parent somehow, in some way, deals with. Identity, work, success, and reputation. The way you think about and interact with these four things will expose and define who you think you are as a parent and what you think your job is in raising your children. And so the first thing he starts with is identity. And he says, where you look to find your sense of who you are, that's what he's talking about. An owner parent tends to look to get their identity, meaning, purpose, and inner sense of well-being from their children. Parenting is a miserable place to look for your identity, if for no other reason than the fact that every parent parents sinners. And so he's just saying, look, if you expect to get your identity out of your children, they're sinners, just like we are. Just like you wouldn't seek to get your identity from anyone else in this life, don't seek to get it from your children, because they got all the same problems we're dealing with. And
if you're not a parent yet, you know, as Caleb was saying earlier, you can apply this to any area of your life that the Lord's putting his finger on. So if you're not a parent yet and you find yourself trying to seek your identity through your spouse at this moment or your job at this moment, whatever it is that the Lord has put in his finger on, then let him speak to you in that area. If you're not even married yet, whatever it is, that there's something that we go to instead of the Lord. There's something we're drawn to instead of the Lord in those moments where things are difficult, or even when they're not, that we, you know what it is in your life that you're drawn to. So whatever it is, allow him to speak to you in that place if you're not a parent yet.
So he says of the ambassador, he says, parents who approach parenting as representatives don't need to get their identity from their children, because they have gotten it from the one who they represent, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because of this, they are freed from coming to their children, hoping that they will get from them what no child is able to give. And And I like how he says that. And so I'm just going to read this. Is remember that kids are an there's two things that I think about here. Remember that kids are an expansion of our family. They do not make our family. So the husband and wife do that. That what you have right now, that's the family. Your kids expand that family. If we become an owner here and we begin looking for our identity in our children, it can be a harm to our marriage and to our children. If our kids become the center of our world, and guys, this happens. It happens all the time in the greatest of Christian homes. You can watch it and you can see it. The children become everything. Everything is poured into them. Everything is sunk into them. And you can see the marriage begin to erode. You can see it begin to disintegrate. And what's crazier still is that now that all that's been transferred into the child is that when that sinner that you're raising starts to sin and it starts to boil and you're at your wit's end and things are going horrible with your kid, well, now everything's gone because you've put everything in them. Everything's transferred over to them. All your identity is in them. So our kids become the center of our world, becoming something they were not meant to be, and we begin to look outside of our husband and wife, the person with whom we've been made one flesh, for things that should come through them. And I'm not saying they're our identity, but things that God has brought us together, made us one flesh, so that because he has said we're incomplete without one another, I'm gonna make this relationship what I intend it to be. So there is something special there, but not necessarily our identity, and Christ alone. The second thing, and probably more importantly, is it will be a harm to our own walk with the Lord. If we put our identity in our kids, our own walk is gonna suffer. We do not cease to be an individual follower and disciple of Christ and or become a parent part of the time. So it's not like God, like I was saying before, God doesn't, when you have kids, God doesn't say, and it'll happen subconsciously. It'll just happen. It's how we, maybe it doesn't, I don't know. But I think it will for all of us. It'll happen where you begin to, you know, oh, okay, this is the parenting moment. Now's when I'm being a parent. Okay, and now's my walk. And that's not the way it works. And so we can begin to lose our own identity in Christ. And Christ says, it's just that now we lead and disciple another in the Lord as the Holy Spirit leads. But it's the same. It's just discipleship. But we can't lose ourselves. Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. That's our identity. That's where it should always be. That's where it should always be. And so that's his first warning, first thing he looks at is identity and what can happen there. An owner parent, one that's taken ownership of their children, they're going to put their identity in their kids. An ambassador that says, God, you've given me this young person to disciple, to bring up in your ways, to seek your plan for what you have for them. And we're going to look at these verses in the next one, or go back to these verses again. But I'm doing that, Lord. I'm going to seek you for that. Then our identity is going to stay in Christ. That's where our identity is going to be, and everything will flow out of that. The second aspect he talks about is work. And this is something we can probably all relate to, but he says, what you define, this is, when he's talking about work, he says, what you define is the work you have been called to do. So owner parents think that their job is to turn their children into something. They have a vision of what they want their children to be, and guys, this will creep in. And even if you say right now, God, and I know we all dedicate our children, right? And I love that practice when we dedicate our children. And we mean it. When we dedicate our children, we are saying, God, they are yours. I mean, we mean it as much as Hannah meant it when she sought the Lord for Samuel in the first place. God, we want our children to be yours. Do with them what you will. But our natural minds and our flesh begins to creep in, and we begin to dream up what we want them to be and how we want them to be and the skills we want them to have and all these things. And, man, it can crowd out what God's trying to do really quickly. So he says, they have a vision of what they want their children to be, and they think that their work as parents is to use their authority, time, money, and energy to form their children into what they have conceived that they should be. And so... Remember, it's not about your plans or ideals, no matter how well-intentioned or right or righteous they are. It's not. And so let's look back at these real quick. In Jeremiah 1:5, and you don't have to turn there if you don't want, but in Jeremiah 1:5, he says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. And I don't believe that's just for Jeremiah. He says, now maybe a prophet to the nations was specific to Jeremiah, but as far as knowing us in the womb and consecrating us before we were born, every single boy and girl that comes into this world, God has done that. He has known them in the womb. He has a plan. He has something he wants to do, and he has consecrated them. He has set them apart to say, I've got something I want for your life. Galatians 1:15, but when he who had set me apart before I was born and who called me by his grace, that's what Paul said. And so, and again, I don't think that's specific to Paul. I think God would say to every single one of us, for our own lives and for the lives of our children, is that I have called you, I've set you apart, and I've called you by my grace, and I've got something I want to do in and through your life. And then the last verse we looked at was Psalm 139, and I'm going to just read the end of it. Well, I'll read verse 14. He says, David says, I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And then in verse 16, he says, your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me. Mm. That's true of our children. God has written in his book every single day that's formed for your children. Now, it shouldn't scare us. It should, in a way. There should be this fearful reverence that, oh my God, this is what you've done with my children. These are not just puppies that you've given me to discipline and raise and get them right and train them and get them doing the right things. It's how we think about it sometimes, especially when they're little. You're like, I'm just feeding these guys. I'm just, you know, I'm trying to get the basics into them. But you've given me a living soul with a spirit that you've placed within them, that you have ordained and consecrated and set, you've written in your book every day. And so it should give us a fearful reverence, but then it should excite us that God has done that already. Because you're going to come to a place at time, you're going to come to a place in time where you go, I have no clue what to do, God. I'm lost here. What in the world do I do? And that's when you say, wait a minute, God, you've already planned this out. You know what you want to do. So just let me hear. Help me, Father. And that should, again, that applies to our own lives. Let it apply to our own lives. And again, like I said, as you go through this, you'll see that all this applies to us. God already has a plan for us and our children and wants us to seek him for that and to act as his ambassador in carrying that out in and for our children. And then he says in the book on page 18, continuing on, he says, Parents who really do understand that they are never anything more than representatives of someone greater, wiser, more powerful, and more gracious than they than they are, know that their daily work is not to turn their children into anything. That's awesome. That should be a relief to us. Your job, our jobs, is not to turn our children into anything. That's not our job. They have come to understand that they have no power whatsoever to change their children. And at first, especially if you're leaning on those ways that you learned, like I did, you're going to think, I know what to do. I got this. And I know how to bend, you know, to mold the heart and shape the heart. You know, you have no idea. They have no power whatsoever to change their children, and that without God's wisdom, they wouldn't even know what is best for their children. They know that what they have been called to, that what they have been called to be are instruments in the hand of one who is gloriously wise and is the giver of the grace that has the power to rescue and transform the children who have been entrusted to their care. And that sounds, that almost sounds insulting the way he says that. Like, oh, wait a minute, they're in my care. Why do they need to be rescued? You know, why do, guys, it's not being rescued from us. It's being rescued from themselves, and you can't do it for them. They are not motivated by a vision of what they want their children to be, but by the potential of what grace could cause their children to be. And so there is nothing like the work of God's grace in our children, in our children's lives. His grace should always be our hope, our God, our rock that we run to in all that we do as parents. And guys, you know, we'll look at this more as we get to some of the later chapters where he deals specifically with the work of grace in our parenting. But all those scriptures that we read about grace, it's not for adults. It's not for grown men and women. It's not for people that have come to some deep spiritual understanding of what grace is. And when Paul talks about grace and the work, it's for 1 and 2 and 3-year-old and 4-year-old and 5-year-old children. Every with few exceptions, everything in God's word is for everyone at every moment in their lives. It's not something that, well, you get to this point, okay, now this applies. Oh, okay. Now this begins to, no, it works from the beginning and nothing more than the grace of God. So, all right. So the next thing he deals with is success. And that's just simply what you define success to be. The owner parents tend to be working toward a specific catalog of indicators in the lives of their children that would tell them that they have been successful parents. Good parents don't always produce good kids, is one of his warnings here. And so in this particular section, he points to earthly indicators of success, which is certainly a pitfall for us, but we could also be trapped by the wrong spiritual indicators of success. If our children keep the Ten Commandments and seem perfect on the outside, there's going to be times in your life where you go, oh, hallelujah. We are doing it right. We got it. Mm-hmm. This is awesome. Our kids don't lie. You know, they don't hit people in the nursery. They're just a saint. They're so awesome. We're doing great. And inside, they could be whitewashed tombs. They could be dead, dead as all get out. Now, that's not because you failed as a parent, but it's because that can happen when you set up these indicators. When even if they're spiritual indicators, that yes, we got it. We're successful. We're doing this, and that can happen. They could still be whitewashed tombs as Pharisees, and or enemies of God as Paul was. It could be even worse. Not just whitewashed tomb, but enemies of God they could be. Paul, everybody would have looked at Paul and said, man, that dude, what? He's got it together. I mean, he told us himself. He said, nobody's going to beat me when it comes to righteousness. Nobody. And we had all said, oh, boy, your parents did awesome. Man, your kids, that's not what it's about. So be careful of setting your success. So we don't have any indicators or require any kind of standard? No, that's not what he's saying. But Scripture clearly states that there are, because Scripture clearly states that there are and must be such things in our lives. But that's not the goal. The goal is not to hit these indicators. The goal is to walk in the grace of God as an ambassador, hearing him tell us what he wants to do on this day, at this time, in this situation, so that he might mold our children in exactly what he's ordained them to be. And so the ambassador, he says, these parents have faced the scary truth that they have no power at all to produce anything in their children. And guys, go ahead and just lock that in right now. As your children are born, lock that thought in, because the most dangerous thought you can have is to think that you can produce something. I know when my children were born, like my dad, he's not saved, but he's a man of integrity in a lot of ways, in the way he carries himself. And he was actually a very scriptural discipliner, I didn't know it, but he gave us very clear guidelines. We understood what the law was in the house, and when we stepped out of it, He brought a very consistent discipline into our lives. And I was like, you know what? Oh, boy, I really appreciate that. And we read some great books, and they were good books. I'm not against them. And I mean, look, we're reading one now. I'm not against books. And we read some books, and I felt so prepared, and I was like, yeah, let's go, and had an idea, and I maybe subconsciously, but I believed that I had the power to produce something in my kids, to work something out for them, to help them out. And I couldn't be more wrong. And the longer it takes you to figure that out, the more that's going to be need to be dealt with in their lives later on. And so right now, go ahead and tell yourself, make it your mantra, that God, there is nothing in me. Nothing, because it's true. It's true of our daily lives, right? Again, this is these things. You apply this to your own life, right? Every day. There's nothing in me to produce any good in myself or anyone else, especially my children. It's got to be you. Work in me, God. Help me. He said, let me say it this way. Successful parenting is not about achieving goals that you have no power to produce, but about being a usable and faithful tool in the hands of the one who alone is able to produce good things in your children. So think of that. Think of yourself in that way. I'm a tool. I'm a tool of the Lord. So, not in the disparaging way, which, you know, I'm a tool, but a tool in the hands of God.
Can I say something just really quickly? So I'll just share something just really quickly, something that the Lord taught me. Control is an illusion. Whether you're talking about your kids or anything in your life, it's an illusion. And it's really easy when your kids are little to think you have control, because they do something, you give them a spanking, and the behavior changes, because that is God's word, you know, that foolishness is bound in the heart of a child and the rod drives it out. And God's word is true, you know, and you are shaping their heart, but it's an instant. You do something and there's an instant change, and you have this feeling, even though you don't admit it, that you have some kind of control over their behavior. And as they get older, you really begin to see that you are trying to mold the heart, even though that's what you've been doing all their life. But you never had control, even when they were little. It was still the Lord. Amen. And somehow, even if you didn't think it, somehow when they were little, you thought you had control, even if you didn't admit it, even if you didn't really realize it. I was at the altar, and one of our girls was thinking about going to school outside of the state, and I was terrified. I was absolutely terrified that she would walk away from the Lord. I was terrified. And what if she leaves F&T? What if she leaves us? What if she doesn't have her Christian friends anymore? I was absolutely terrified. And so I was at the altar, and I was just weeping before the Lord, and I was confessing how absolutely afraid I was. And so he just met me in that moment. And you know how he can give you complete thoughts and like entire paragraphs of thoughts in a moment and drop it in your heart? And that's what he did. He said, you never had control anyway. And he said, it's not F&T that keeps your kids.
Amen.
It's not F&T that keeps your kids. It wasn't youth group that kept you. It wasn't Chi Alpha that kept you. It's not F&T that keeps you. It's not F&T that's going to keep your kids. You don't keep your kids. I keep your kids.
Amen.
I keep your kids. I've kept your kids. So from the time they were little and we were raising them up in the Lord, and I thought I had something to do with it, it was him all the time.
Amen.
And so now that we're in a place and we don't spank anymore and we don't send them to their room and we don't take things away and we're not in that place, it's purely just discipleship. That's where we are now. It's hands off, truly hands off. It is a realization now completely of how in control he is. And it really is it can be terrifying. I wish it wasn't. I wish it wasn't terrifying, but there is freedom there. There is freedom there, because he's never given us a reason to not trust him.
Amen.
He Amen. Never has.
Amen. And remember too, as we talk, when we discipline, that the root word of discipline is disciple. Mm-hmm. That's what this is. If you think discipline is the same thing as punishment, it's not.
No.
Not at all.
Absolutely.
And so as we use that word, so amen. The last thing he talks about here is reputation. And this is one that all this, there's so much in here that hits home, but this one really hits home for me. He said, reputation is what tells people who you are and what you're about. He says the owner parents unwittingly turn their children into their trophies. They're not so much concerned about what that craziness says about their children, because it's coming. The craziness is coming. The fits and target and all that, it's coming. And there's no way to stop it. But what it says about them. They're not concerned about what the craziness says about their children, but what it says about them. And so I was thinking about this, and I thought to myself, what if Christ had staked his reputation on the disciples? What if he had staked his reputation on the disciples? Did he have that pride-driven cringe every time they willingly sinned or did something foolish and blew it before the whole world and recorded in Scripture?
That's a good thing.
No. Nor did he make excuses for them or excuse them in their wrong. So again, I want to make that clear. This is not about excusing things and glossing over things. But the point is that his trophy was that the Father was what the Father was doing and was going to do in them and through them. And we see this, John 17:6. I have, and all of John 17, but I'm just going to read this. He says, I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me. And then skipping down to verse 9, I am praying for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. And then as that chapter goes on, you just continue to hear Jesus say, you, talking about his Father. That's the way we should be. You've given them to me. It's all about you. It's about what you were. But Jesus didn't do that. Jesus didn't have things wrapped up in the disciples. He didn't freak out, you know, and he didn't go hide and cringe or shut up. You know, what is y'all's problem? God, y'all are embarrassing me. You know, I'm not saying those aren't natural feelings and aren't going
to
happen.
That it hasn't happened a couple of times.
Yeah, I'm not saying that. But when those times happen, when those things rise up in you, that's when you get to say, okay, Holy Spirit, what am I doing here? What am I worried about here? What's going on inside of me? So, ambassador, it says, ambassador parents are parenting sinners. They have come to understand that they are parenting sinners that will expose them to public misunderstanding and embarrassment somehow, some way. So get that in your mind right now. It's coming. They become not so much their trophies, but trophies of the Savior that they have sought to serve. For them, it's God who does the work and God who gets the glory. Hallelujah. And so, huh?
20.
That's on page 20. Page Thank 20. Y'all for continuing to remind me to say that because I'm not saying the page numbers. So if you would, turn to this for me because I want us to see this. So turn to Philippians 2:5 because this is, I just think this is a great way to speak to what he's talking about. So again, while you're turning there, I'll read it again. Philippians 2, chapter 2, verse 5. Parenting sinners will expose them to public misunderstanding and embarrassment somehow, some way. But ambassador parents, their children, they don't become so much their trophies, but trophies of the Savior that they have sought to serve. For them, it's God who does the work and God who gets the glory. So I was just thinking about this verse and these verses when I was reading that and thinking about my own life. But Paul says, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, or as it says in the King James, made himself of no reputation, no reputation, by taking the form of a servant. And guys, being emptied or making ourselves of no reputation and taking the form of a servant, that's our calling as parents. We got the same calling as parents. Being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And I'll ask you right now, are we willing to die? Even at the hand of our children, as it would be. Because that's what's going to happen. Your children are going to bring you to a place, often, and in mighty ways, to where you are going to have to die. And so are we willing to die for our children, as it would be? Are we willing to die at their hands, as it would be? Verse 9, therefore, because of all these things that are above, everything that he just said about Christ and about what he did and about how Christ gave himself, presented himself on this earth, therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And when I read those last few verses, God has highly exalted him so that at his name every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Isn't that what we want for our children?
Yes.
Don't we want our children to see Christ highly exalted in their eyes? Don't we want them to bow their knees to Christ? And don't we want them to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord? And guys, if we do as Christ did, if when we talk about reputation, if we lay our reputation aside as parents and we say, I want to empty myself, I want to have no reputation, I want to humble myself at your hands, I want to be a servant, then I believe God will produce this in our children. And I believe it will happen in no other way. You can't bring them the law enough. You can't do all the other things we just talked. You can't do it enough. But if we do this, if we walk in this way, for the Philippians chapter 2, it doesn't just apply to the rest of the world or to us or just to what Christ did. If we live this way now, and it won't just be our children, it'll be our co-workers, it'll be everybody else, but it'll apply to our children. And so I'll read this last thing. We'll actually be done a little early. I'm scared of the clock. So he says after this, he says, and this is just at the end of page 20, he says, are you ready to be freed? And I think this is why the introduction is so appropriate for us, for a lot of new and upcoming parents. But are you ready to be freed from the burden of trying to create change and to experience the rest to be found in functioning as a tool of the one whose grace alone has the power to change? Then this book is for you. Now, he's talking about his book, and I would recommend that you get it and read along with us and use it. It is meant to yank you out of the daily grind and to consider the big picture of what God is inviting you to be part of as he works in the hearts and lives of your children. It is meant to help you see how radically different parenting becomes when you quit trying to produce change and become a willing tool of the grace that rescues, forgives, and changes. How about considering a new and better way, the way of grace, is what he says.
Amen.
And so what he's going to do as we begin to go through this book is he begins to break it down into different sections: calling, law, grace, and he begins to deal with the inability and these different things in our lives and the way we parent. And so just to summarize today, this introduction is, guys, we have a choice with our children, and it is to take complete and full ownership of them, and that ownership is then to do it as we see fit and how we see fit and what seems to work and doesn't seem to work, and just to take off after it, or we can become ambassadors for God in the lives that he has known before they ever existed and begin to work in them. He's consecrated them, and we can begin to just be a tool in his hands, in God's hands, for him to begin to sculpt and to shape and to mold them and to lead them where he's going, to fulfill those days that he's already written in his book. And the way we can evaluate ourselves is whether I'm an owner or I'm an ambassador. How am I performing? How am I doing this? How do I see my role in this? Is one, how do we see our identity in this? Where's our identity coming from? Where's our work? What's our work? What is it we're working to do? What's our ideal of success? And no, it's not just, be careful, it's just like we said, it's not just, well, I want them to be great Christian people. No, that shouldn't be your goal. That shouldn't be your success. Success should be, God has had his way with these children, and I have heard him, and I have walked with him, and I've ministered to him as he would guide. And then lastly, reputation. Is your reputation tied up in your children? Or is your reputation already settled in Christ? That I don't have one any longer. It's his. Back to that identity verse. It's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives within me. And so our prayer and our hope is that, and as we read this, Robin and I, we've already talked about that we read this and where there's a lot of regrets we have, a lot of things that we look back and say, boy, whew, I wish we'd have known this back then. I wish somebody had taught us this back then. Not this, not this book, not these methods, these ways, because you're going to find that with kids. There's no blueprint. It's not even in Scripture. You're not going to go to the Bible and he's going to say, well, here's what you do when he won't eat that, or when he's, throwing a fit, or, it's not going to be spelled out for you, all these different occasions. But he has laid it out in his word, and I love the way this is dealing with it, because he's bringing us back to the foundational things of God for our own lives, for the lives, our lives in our work, our lives in our church, our lives in our children. And that's our hope, is that you guys now can grasp these things now, cling to the, and not that you're going to get it all right. It's not that you're going to make notes as we go through this book and you're going to go, okay, that's what I'm doing. Okay. Yeah. No, but because these things are hopefully being put in your heart, that when you're doing it well, you have that peace. Yes. God, you are having your freedom. You are having your way. You are free to do what you want to do in my children. And then when it's going wrong, that you can identify it and see, okay, wait a minute. All right. Oh, whoa. This is off. Something's off here. We got to get back to what he wants. So.
And you can help each other too.
Amen.
You see it in the other one.
Amen. You have to do that. And I can tell you this from my own experience, they're not always going to listen. So Robin pointed things out to me for so long, you know, things that she could see so clearly and I couldn't. And, you know, just as the Lord would lead, pointing it out at different times, praying all the time. And, but, so it's not that they're always going to accept it, but yeah, you got to talk to each other. You got to encourage one another. You got to exhort one another. And sometimes you got to, you know, exhort is not necessarily, or encouragement, as we talked about in another lesson before, that's not all sunshine pumping, right? There's encouragement means you got to say the hard things sometimes. So, Father, we thank you. And Lord, I thank you for these things. And Lord, I thank you that no matter where we are in parenting, that it's, even if our kids are old and we're reading these things and we're going, oh my goodness, how did I not know that? It's not too late, because it's still not us. It's not about what we do. It's not about what we did. It's about who you are. And so God, thank you. And Lord, I ask for everyone in here, Robin and I, Lord, as we continue, we'll never cease to be parents. My God, you would continue to write these things in our heart. Show us, guide us, lead us. We want you to fulfill what it is that you have in store and you have written down for our children. And we don't want to hinder it, and we definitely want to be a part of it, God. We want to be all that you desire us to be. And Lord, we want you to work in our lives, because we know that this is going to be a bigger work in our life and our own walk with you and our own view and ideal and love of you as it is in theirs. So thank you, Father. Lord, go with us now as we come to worship you, as we come to praise you. Lord, let it be by the power of your Holy Spirit. We come in here tired. We've lost an hour, God. Lord, let it be your energy that you so mightily work within us, that we come in this morning, Holy Spirit, and that you would let us see Christ and love him and hear him, and that our praise would be sweet to you, God. We thank you and we love you. God, minister to every heart and soul that comes in here this morning. Meet them wherever they are. In Christ's name, amen.